walking wisely. This morning I want to talk about why Christians should go to every service of the church. You know, sometimes people seem to labor under the impression that it's not important to attend the services on a regular basis, that God has just somewhat left it up to each individual, that it's a matter of choice, and that if one wants to go then regularly, that's fine, and if he doesn't want to attend on a regular basis, that's all right. And I think you can see that attitude is very prevalent in congregation after congregation, because just go in and look at their board and look at the Wednesday night service if it's listed, and you will see many times it is down to half what it is on Sunday morning. And then many times congregations that will run 130, 150 on Sunday morning, they'll drop down to 100 on Wednesday night. And then you can begin to look at the Sunday night service in comparison to the Sunday morning service, and many times you can look at the Bible study period in comparison to the Sunday morning worship period, and you begin to see that a lot of people do not really believe that you have to attend every service of the church. Now, I'm sorry to say that here at Hebron Lane, there's some folks who really don't believe they have to attend every service of the church. Now, I make that judgment after being here several years and watching the board and watching you, and I make that judgment because of the fruit you bear. And so we need to look at this subject. In fact, I wish we had more people here this morning that we might examine this subject, that all of us, every member here, needs to examine this subject, because this is an important subject. And I think I can show you from the Word of God that every one of us have a responsibility to be here and to attend all of the services. And here are some of the reasons we should attend the services of the church on a regular basis, to prove our love and our gratitude to God and to Christ. Now, that's easy said, but this needs to sink in. You know, we need to have gratitude. And when we're without gratitude and when we're not thankful, something is bad wrong with us. Let me just first call your attention to a passage of Scripture back in the Roman letter. In the first chapter of the book of Romans, this is the way the God of heaven describes the Gentile. He said in verse 19, "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God," now notice, "they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful." Now this is verse 21 of Romans 1. Now he said one of the problems with the Gentile was he was not thankful. He was not thankful to God. He was not thankful for the fact that he knew God. He was not thankful for the blessings of God. He was not thankful to God in any respect, and became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Now, the God of heaven wants us to be thankful, and he wants us to be thankful to him. And we are free moral agents, and we can choose to be thankful or not to be thankful. But we will give an account if we are not thankful in the last day, in the day of judgment. And all of us need to recognize that. But I need to be thankful to God because he so loved me that he was willing to give his only begotten son to come here and live that and die that you and I might live. Notice a verse we're all familiar with and have been familiar with since we were children, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now I need to be thankful to God that he was willing to give Jesus Christ to come and die for me. And I need to be thankful to Christ that he was willing to come and die. And he did come and die, and he come, and when he died upon the cross, he bought the church. And Paul said in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, and looking down to about verse 25 of the 5th chapter of the book of Ephesians, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now that gives us some indication of the great love that Christ had for me and for you. Just as God loved us, we see that Christ loved us, and he loved us to such an extent that he was willing to die for us. Now I need to be grateful for that. There's a lot of things all of us need to be grateful for. We need to be grateful to one another. But we need to be grateful to God. We need to be grateful for the multitudes of blessings that he bestows upon all of us every day. James, as he writes in the 1st chapter of the book of James, says in verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Now think about it. Every good gift and every perfect gift, where does it come from? It comes from God. Every spiritual gift is from God, but every temporal gift is from God. And God has just been so good to all of us. And we don't appreciate the blessings that he has bestowed upon us. The material things that we enjoy every day. Our automobiles, homes, food. Just think about what a great blessing all of this is. Now, when we begin to think about what God has done for us, we ought to be grateful. And we ought to attend these services here out of gratitude. We ought to want to come here and to praise him and glorify him and express our thanksgiving to him for how good he's been to us. Now, he's good to us. How in the world could we bear our sorrows and our troubles without God and without Jesus Christ? Now, from this podium this morning, one of the elders has told us about 2 deaths in this congregation. Now, that brings sorrow to the hearts of men and women. Well, how can we bear death without the help of God and the help of Jesus Christ, and recognize that God cares? And then you think of all of the other sorrows and problems that come upon us, and God helps us bear these things. And so out of a heart of gratitude, I need to be here every time the doors are open that I might express my thanksgiving and my gratefulness to God. That's one of the reasons I need to attend the services, remembering the spiritual part of it, but also remembering even the other great blessings that he bestows upon us. And then recognizing that he seeks my worship. In the fourth chapter of the book of John, and in verse 23, there is a very striking statement that should touch the hearts of every child of God. Jesus now says, but he's talking to the woman now at Jacob's well, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Now I want you to notice the last phrase. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. Now you think about that. God seeks your worship. Now you think about it on an individual basis. The God of heaven wants my worship. He wants your worship. God wants Donald Townsley to worship him. He wants Philip Arnold to worship him. Now you stop to think about that. You know, there's a lot of people who really don't want anything to do with us. They just soon maybe we not even be around. They ignore you, might not even want to shake hands with you. But we're talking about the God of the universe. And what does he want? He wants my worship. He seeks my worship. And he's been so good to me. And I need then, out of the gratitude of my heart, to pay him homage and worship and recognize that he wants this. He's pleased with this, and this is that which pleases him. Now, we ought to want to please God. We want to please one another. Husbands want to please their wives. Wives want to please their husbands. Children want to please their parents. We want to please people we love. You know, we do many, many things simply because we know it's what they want, it's what they like, we know it pleases them. Well, now the God we serve, the God who so loved us and has given us all of these blessings, he tells us that he seeks our worship, and when we worship him in spirit and in truth, he is pleased with that worship. So one's love and gratitude to God should cause him to worship at every service. Now I'll tell you, if this doesn't motivate us, if this doesn't cause us to want to worship God, I really don't know hardly how to motivate people. I don't know of anything much to say, because these are the things that the Bible says. And we need to look at our own hearts. You know, we could get in the condition of the Gentiles. And when we get where we don't want to be grateful and thankful, then, of course, the Gentiles went further and further from God. And I would warn us as children of God, when we're not grateful and when we don't use every opportunity to worship and serve him, what happens to us? We drift further and further from God. But secondly, this morning, I'd point out to you, I should attend every service to obey God. Now, that ought to be a desire of heart, to obey him, because to stand in disobedience to God, of course, is to stand under his condemnation. Let me just call your attention to a passage found in the Old Testament that teaches us a great lesson concerning obedience, and go back to the 15th chapter of the book of Samuel. And Samuel was to completely destroy the Amalekites and their animals and everything, and he spared Agag, and he spared the best, you see. But that's not what God wanted him to do, and so he disobeyed God, and notice what God, through Samuel, said now to Saul. The record says, And Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." Now, what had Saul done? He had rejected the word of the Lord. He was rebellious, and he was stubborn. And where does that put us? Whenever the Lord has told us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as you see the day approaching, and then we fail to do that, what are we doing? We're disobedient. We're stubborn. And how does the Lord look upon this? Well, you can see. When I just got through reading it. He does not approve of people who are stubborn and rebellious, and people who reject his will stand under his condemnation. And so we need then to attend the services that we might be obedient. Let's listen to the Hebrew writer in the 5th chapter. And verses 8 and 9, he talks about obedience. He says, though he were a son. He's talking about Jesus now, and he's talking about his obedience. Yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Now there's a whole lot said in that verse, and it's really worthy of a lot of meditation on the part of every one of us. The Son, Jesus Christ, learned obedience. Sometimes, you know, we may not stop to really comprehend or think about that. He had to learn obedience. He had to do what God's will for him was. In other words, Jesus did not want to die from the standpoint of relishing death on a cross any more than you would relish death. Go back up to the 7th verse of the same chapter. He says, in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong cryings and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. You see, he prayed, if you'd go back and read in the Gospels, he prayed, if it be God's will, let this cup pass from me. In other words, if it be any other way, don't let me suffer this death. But there was no other way, you see. And he had to lay down his life and suffer that death that you and I might live. Well, was Jesus rebellious? No. He learned obedience through the things which he suffered. He submitted to the will of God and went to the cross and died. Was it easy to do God's will on the part of Jesus? No. And I think that's a great lesson we must learn today in the church. Sometimes we think that God only demands that which is easy to do. No. Many things that God wants us to do is not easy. Now, none of his commands are grievous. John tells us that. But they are not necessarily easy, you see. There's some sacrifice to be made to obey God. And that's what we have to learn concerning the services of the church. To be obedient to God, some sacrifices have to be made, and it's not always easy to be here at every service. But we can be here unless we are sick, providentially hindered. But you can see here that we are to obey God, and we need to be here to obey God. You know, Christians in the apostolic days, in the first century, they came together upon a regular basis to worship God. We're all familiar with this. In the 20th chapter, as Glenn called our attention this morning of the book of Acts, and verse 7, you see the church at Troas. There they came together on the first day of the week to break bread. The record tells us, and upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. The Corinthians came together in 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, on the first day of the week, and they gave of their means, they gave, as they had prospered. And that's what we are to do upon the first day of the week in Acts, in 1 Corinthians rather 16 and 2. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And then when you go back to the early chapters of Acts, right after the church was established, in Acts 2 and 42, the record says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Now, this was the attitude of the apostolic church. They ate the Lord's Supper, gave of their means, they taught, they prayed, they engaged in singing, Ephesians 5 and verse 19. And then, not only did they worship on the Lord's Day, but these people came together upon a daily basis and studied the Word of God. Notice verse 46. Of the second chapter of Acts, the record says, and they continued daily with one accord in the temple. The A part of that verse. And then if you turn to chapter 5 and verse 42, you would read these words, and daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus. Now, if you really get tired of Bible study on Wednesday night, you really would have got tired being a part of the Jerusalem church, because this congregation came together on a daily basis and studied the Word of God. You know, sometimes I've heard members of the church say, well, this Wednesday night stuff, that's just something somebody got up, and you don't have to go on Wednesday night, just the Lord's Day, that's the only important time to go. Well, you know right off, that fellow has never studied his Bible. He knows nothing about the apostolic church. He's never delved into what's said in the book of Acts. Because the church in the 20th century does not even start to meet as regularly as the church did in the apostolic days and the church here in Jerusalem. We don't meet on a daily basis. Oh, we do it sometimes. We've got Paul Earnhardt, and we'll do it for about a week. But the indication is they just did it week in and week out. They came together on a daily basis, studied the Word of God. And every home, they studied the Word of God, publicly and privately. Now, it gets back to an attitude. How little can I get by with? You see, that's the attitude that's found in the church. Not how much can I do, not looking forward to the time, but the attitude is, must I? Do I have to? And those attitudes are wrong within themselves. And that's what we need to recognize and understand, that when we have the proper attitude, we'll want to be here on Lord's Day, and we'll want to be here on Wednesday night and during the meetings and every time the church assembles. So I should attend to obey God. But also I should attend every service of the church because Jesus is in the assemblies. Let's go back to the book of Matthew. In the 18th chapter of the book of Matthew, and if you look with me to about the 20th verse, we'll read these words. And where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Now notice, where two or three are gathered together in my name, he says, there I am in the midst of them. Now we have gathered together here. The church has come together under his authority. That's the idea. And he says, I am in your midst. And he is. His presence is here. Everything about this service manifests the presence of our Lord. His presence is here in all of his institutions. The Lord's Supper, his presence is in this supper. His presence is in the giving. His presence is in the singing. His presence is in the teaching. And of course, we know he is omnipresent and is here from that aspect, because nothing is hid from the eyes of Almighty God in Hebrews 4 and in verse 13, the record says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. But when we began to think about his presence is in his word and in his appointments and his influence. Everything in this service has been influencing you concerning Jesus Christ and concerning God. His presence is here. His presence, as I've said, in every act of worship. And of course, the presence of God and the presence of Christ is omnipresent, and they, of course, are here from that aspect. And so we need to want to assemble here to be with Christ. But also, I need to attend every service of the church to help the church grow. Now, do you want to help the church grow? How to help this congregation grow is to be here every time. Now, you know, churches that grow are churches where all of the members attend the services. And churches that don't grow are churches where the members don't attend. And you know, one of the great problems today, the reason we're not growing all over the country is because members are not converted. Members don't attend. Members don't attend gospel meetings. Members don't attend the regular services. And a big lot of the energy of the church is sapped because of members and their indifference and their failure to attend the services. And a lot of attention and time has to be taken up to try to get the members to attend. Begging and pleading and teaching. Isn't it a shame? Now you think about it. Every member here needs to think about it. It's a shame, you know. We're members of the body of Jesus Christ. And we need to look at our attitudes. We need to look at our priorities. We need to look at what in the world are we thinking about? Where we say, well, you want to go to heaven? Oh, yes, I want to go to heaven. Do you really want to go to heaven? Really bad? Do you want to go to heaven worse than anything in the world? Do you want to go to heaven bad enough to make some sacrifice? Do you want to go to heaven bad enough to attend all of the services of the church? Is heaven worth that to you? Well, after we've done it all, we're unprofitable servants. We need to understand that, as the Lord would say in Luke 17 and verse 10. But we need to be here to help the church grow. I'll tell you another reason. I should attend every service of the church to put it first. You know, we talk about putting Christ and His kingdom first in our lives. And Jesus tells us we must put it first. In Matthew 6 and verse 33, He says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Now, what's Jesus telling us in this context? Well, He's talking about material things, what we're going to eat, what we're going to drink, and things of that nature. But He said, now, all of that ought to be secondary. The primary thing in all of our lives is to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And if we will seek these things, then these other things will be added to our lives. Now, I am to manifest to God my love and the fact that I'm putting His kingdom first. And how can I say that I'm putting the kingdom first when I don't attend the services regularly? Now you think about that. You know, that's just common sense. If I told you you were first in my life, you were important to me, and all of that, and I never came around, and you never did see me, and I avoided you, and just at rare opportunities you might see me because it was some rare occasion. You say, well, you don't care much about me. Fella tells his wife he loves her. He loves her more than anything in the world. And he never takes up any time with her. He never buys her anything. He never courts her. You see? Well, what does she begin to think? Well, that's just a lot of stuff he's talking about. He doesn't love her. He doesn't manifest it. Now, we can talk about loving the Lord all we want to, but the way we manifest it is by attending the services upon a regular basis. Putting the kingdom of heaven first. And I need to do that, and you need to do that, and I should attend every service to set a good example. Now I'm going to tell you, all of us are being watched. I don't know how to overemphasize that. I don't know how to emphasize it, and I guess it needs overemphasizing. The business of example. Powerful example. We either have a powerful example for good, or we have a powerful example for evil. Now listen, what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 2, he says, "Ye are our epistles," talking to the Christians now, "written in our hearts, known and read of all men. Every member at Hebron Lane is known and read of men." All of us. Starting with the elders, coming to the preacher, coming down to every member. All of us have a tremendous influence through our example. We are either being a good influence, an influence that's building up the cause of Christ, or we are having an influence that tears down. Now, to see that, let me do something bad as the preacher. I mean really bad. Let me get drunk. What do you think that would do to you as a people? It'd be bad on my part. Terrible. But it would be such a bad influence. My influence would just be so bad. It not only would hurt Donald Townsley, it would hurt the people that he's connected with. It'd take you a while to get over me getting out here and getting on a big drunk. Now you see that? Now you see the bad end of it, don't you? Now, when we all do right, you know, that influence is just as powerful. It may not be out and people talking about it like they would if the preacher got on a drunk from the bad standpoint, but that good influence, when we do right, it's permeating. It's permeating in the community. It permeates out, and people feel it, and we influence one another. When we all do right, it's easier for us all to do right when we all do right. But if there's some among us doing wrong, what do? They influence others to do wrong. Go back to 1 Corinthians 5. And a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And you get some members not attending regular. And the first thing you know, you got some other members looking and say, well, look at them, look at them. They don't go every time. Well, let's miss today. I need to look at my example. And you need to look at your example. And we need to attend every service of the church because we need to be a good example. We need to attend, last of all, to abound in the work of the Lord. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, and verse 58, that as children of God, we are always to be abounding. He says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. I like this terminology. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, when you think of Christians that really have had an impact on your life, who has that impact? Who has had that impact? It's been those steadfast, unmovable, always abounding people. Those are the people who keep me going. When you get down and out, who do you think about? You think about those steadfast people. When you think of the Apostle Paul, do you think of a fellow that's in and out? No. You think of somebody that's just like a rock that stands and he abounds and he keeps on and nothing defeats him, you see. Oh, what an impact Paul has in our life. When we think of the Lord and we think of his life, he wasn't in and out and wishy-washy and movable, but he was immovable. And when we think in the present-day church, who do we think about? When we look to an example, we think about those people that have been steadfast and like a rock, and they continue.
and they abound. And that's where all of us are to be. We are to abound in the work of the Lord, always abounding. We need to attend the assemblies to abound. Brethren, I bid you think seriously about what I've said this morning, because it's come from the heart. And we need to examine it in the light of the will of God and recognize the importance of attending the services, and recognize we can never be a God would have us be as a congregation until we all attend the services on a regular basis. And if we want to go home to heaven when we die, we need to recognize the importance of attending the services. If you're here and you've been unfaithful, maybe unfaithful in the services, then you need to make correction. The invitation's to you. If you're here not a Christian, you need to come believing, repenting of your sins, confessing your Lord, and we'll assist you in baptism. Won't you come as we stand and as we sing?